Good morning, America. This is the Katz Roundtable. John Katzmatidis here. It's Sunday morning. What's going on in America in politics? It seems like everything is falling apart. The Democrats hate the Republicans. The Republicans hate the Democrats. We used to have some peace and tranquility. Well, one of the smartest guys I know and who made peace in the old days with Bill Clinton, we have with us today this morning, former Speaker Newt Gingrich. Good morning, Mr. Speaker. How are you?
I'm doing great, and, it is a strange period, not that we haven't had them before in American history, but it certainly can test your commitment to public service and public life. And I thought that the president this week in his press conference didn't do either himself or the country any favors, because he just doesn't get it. I mean, Clinton and I were pretty good at beating each other up, and we both understood the business of politics, but we were equally good at sitting in a room and working out welfare reform or tax cuts or Food and Drug Administration reform, just an amazing range of things. And that's because we understood that for anything to work in America, you have to be able to get part of both teams pulling the whole wagon together. You can't, the wagon doesn't work if only one team's pulling it. And, I think Biden, for whatever reason, you'd think after all his years in the Senate, he'd know this. But for whatever reason, Biden just doesn't get it. And they keep trying to do things only with Democrats. And, of course, it just doesn't work.
Well, you know, they tried to make it work for a little while. But I'm disappointed in the U.S. senators that usually they're the elder statesmen of our country. And some of them are just not acting that way, and that's very disappointing.
It is, and I don't know to what extent it's a side effect of COVID and all the people who've been living in isolation and the whole sense of fear that permeates the culture right now. But you would have thought that there would have been a substantially larger number than just Senator Sinema and Senator Manchin who would have stood up and said, you know, this is just wrong. And the reason it's so profoundly wrong is if, in fact, we eliminated the ability to filibuster in the Senate, which as a member of the House, I can sort of think fondly would be nice. But I know as a historian that you get into a cycle where one team wins, they ram through their stuff. 2 years or 4 years later, the other team wins, they turn right around and ram through their stuff. It is a guaranteed invitation to a disaster, to the kind of things that have not worked in Italy or in France or in a whole range of places. And I think that it's very significant as part of our experience as Americans that to get things through the Senate as a general rule, you have to have a bipartisan consensus and you have to have popular support. And that has protected the country from itself. It's meant that the power-hungry politicians, people like Schumer, just couldn't break through. And I think we just had another, months and months of them trying. And hopefully this last week they began to realize that it's just not going to work that way.
Now, it seems like the country depends on November 2022 to get some common sense going and to have our country go in the right direction. I mean, we're all concerned. When President Biden was elected, I said, well, let's give him a chance. But almost every decision he's made hurt the country. And I think we're depending on November 2022 to get our country straightened out.
Well, I think that's right. Look, unfortunately, big government socialism doesn't work. These giant spending programs, these incompetent bureaucracies, policies that are anti-work, anti-savings, anti-education, they just don't work in the long run. And I think that for whatever reason, President Biden is trapped by his left, by the AOCs and others, into trying to implement policies that, one, cannot be passed in the Congress, and two, when he does it by executive order and he does it by regulation in the bureaucracy, it just becomes a total mess. And you end up, as we are right now, with over 100 ships still sitting off of Long Beach, California, with total disaster. Cliffs and I are trying to do some improvements to our house, and we're getting 16 to 20 week delays to get things as simple as faucets. We're talking to people who say that in terms of trying to build a house, you can't buy timber. That it's just, it is such a huge shortage. I talked to folks, I went to two different grocery stores last week, and I agree with the former head of Walmart who said that the shelves are starting to look like the old Soviet Union, and for the same reason. Big government interference is just screwing everything up, and they don't seem to be able to learn from it. And it's not like, you know, it's not obvious. They just can't learn.
It is horrible, and I've said it out loud. I have no reason. Why are we not buying our crude oil from Canada and Alaska, and we're begging Putin to sell it to us for $90 a barrel?
Yeah, you know, that's a good example where it's sort of triply crazy. When you have the Democrats being in this big government socialism model, being anti-oil, anti-gas, anti-coal, one, you kill American jobs. Two, you raise the price of living for every American, which everybody listening to us knows every time they go to a gas station. And three, you weaken our national security by increasing the power of Saudi Arabia and Russia, because the world is going to turn somewhere to get this energy. And if the U.S. isn't willing to do it, we lose relative importance and these other countries gain importance. And as the price goes up, I mean, the amount of money that Putin is making at $80 or $90 a barrel is financing the entire Russian army. And the fact that nobody in the White House seems to understand it. You know, Reagan used to have a great line. He would say, you know, I'm not afraid of the things liberals don't know. I'm afraid of the things they know that aren't true. And I watched the Biden press conference this week, and I thought to myself, you know, does he really believe his own lies when he's standing there and he's saying things that are just clearly, absolutely false? Does he at least understand? I mean, when I would deal with Bill Clinton, he'd lie routinely because it was a technique he picked up in Hot Springs, Arkansas as a child. But you knew he was lying. He knew you knew he was lying. He knew what reality was. I'm not sure in Biden's case that he even realizes he's lying. I think that he changes the world in his head to fit what it needs to be. And his defense, for example, the other day of his speeches, what he said was just not true. I mean, it was so clearly not true that it's embarrassing to have a president of the United States who is that out of touch with reality.
I agree 110%. And my other thing that I've been talking to on the radio about is Putin is a very smart guy. I'm wondering if he's afraid to invade because he's not sure if Biden might do something stupider.
Well, I think to some extent you could have the danger of triggering a really big war. But I also think that Putin's a very shrewd gambler. He's trying to wage a war of nerves, which doesn't cost him very much. And he's sort of dancing back and forth and saying, you know, you better be very careful. I really want you to do this, this, and this. And he'll eventually figure out something, a little thing, that will be, he'll claim his victory, and then he'll go on to his next game. Now, I think he's been diverted some because the anti-government forces in Kazakhstan have turned out to be much stronger than people expected, and the dictatorship in Kazakhstan has asked Putin to send Russian troops into Kazakhstan to help them defeat the insurgents. And so he now has a different front he's having to pay attention to that did not exist 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago. So that may slow him down a while. But certainly nothing that Biden said yesterday would slow him down. And in fact, the one big, clear, visible mistake was when Biden said, well, you know, he might seize a little bit of territory. Well, luckily within an hour, Jen Psaki had come out and said, no, that's not true. This morning they sent Kamala Harris out, who managed to avoid laughing and giggling, and she said it's not true, that they will not tolerate any Russian attack would be an act of war. And that's very important. But there was a brief... yesterday or the other day when the fact was that Biden just completely misstated something in a way that was really dangerous for the whole world.
Very dangerous. I understand that you're so concerned about November 2022, you're going to put together a few programs to make sure we have the right balance of power in Washington. Tell us about that.
Well, I've been working on a project called the American Majority Project, which really starts with the idea that not just for Republicans, but that there are moderate Democrats, independents, and Republicans who collectively believe in certain things. For example, over 70% of the country thinks that a balanced budget would help with inflation. We have 85% of the country thinks that you should, in fact, have a facial ID if you're going to vote. We should know who you really are. Something like 91% of the country agrees with Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. that it is the content of your character, not the color of your skin. So we've been pulling together big ideas. I just did a podcast, which we're releasing over the weekend, on answering Biden, because he was playing this rhetorical game of, you know, I want to see what the Republican alternative is. I don't see any agenda. Well, as the guy who helped launch the Contract with America, I've been working with Kevin McCarthy and others, the Republican leader in the House, who will be the next speaker. And I'm going to do an entire podcast outlining examples where we have lots of ideas, everything from the right of parents to choose a school where their child actually gets educated, which I think is a very big, important idea, replacing all these left-wing crazy district attorneys. I mean, this guy in Los Angeles who killed the young girl in the furniture store had a rap sheet, I think, with 11 different arrests, and he was still out on the street. You turn around, whether it's New York or it is Chicago or it is San Francisco or Los Angeles, and George Soros has given the money to elect people who are deeply pro-criminal and anti-innocent person. And so the Republicans are going to have some very strong ideas on returning the focus to protecting the innocent. On balance, I'd rather be focused on the innocent than the criminal, and I'd rather have the criminal not be on the street. And as you know, we're talking about a New York City, which right now has both an idiotically left-wing district attorney who won't prosecute anybody, and a no-bail rule, which means that you walk in the door, and as a criminal, you're back out in the street before the police have finished filling out the paperwork. Well, that's a guaranteed invitation to dramatic crime. And in fact, the Union Pacific Railroad has announced that they're seriously considering leaving California, that they are leaving Los Angeles, that they believe that the level of crime in the rail yards in Los Angeles is so great because they pick up somebody as a criminal. He's back out within an hour or two, and the next day he's back in the rail yard again, stealing again.
Wow.
And I think this is a real crisis for our country.
Well, Newt Gingrich, thank you for standing up for our country. You've always stood up for our country, and that's what Newt Gingrich stands for. And thank you for loving our country, and God bless you, and God bless America.
We'll keep doing it.
Thank you.